I was reading the 118th Psalm this week, and I noticed a verse that I had never noticed before. I made it a practice to read the book of Psalms twice a month for the past three or four years. And I've read Psalm 118 twice a month for that period of time. So probably 40, let's see, 4 times 2 is, I don't know how many. That's many times. I can't do math on the spot this morning. But when I got down to verse 6 this week as I was reading it, I mean, I looked at my Bible and I went and checked another one I had, because I'll be honest with you, I had never noticed verse 6 before, even though I've read this psalm over and over and over again, where the Bible says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear." Of course, you can put many words in there for fear. You could put worry in there. You could put be anxious in there. You could put be discouraged in there. But the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And then the psalmist asks sort of a rhetorical question, "What can man do unto me?" Because God's on my side. If I was gonna, if we were gonna have a fight, and I was gonna pick up sides to fight somebody, I'd pick the meanest, toughest person I could find to be on my side if I was going into a fight. I mean, I'd find some, especially if I wanted to win the fight. Now, you know, I agree with the Apostle Paul. If you're not going to fight to win, you ought not to fight. But if we were going to have a physical fight, I'd want to pick the meanest, rottenest, dirtiest guy that I could find, because I'd want to win that fight. If we were going to play basketball and we were picking up teams, I want to pick the tallest person that could shoot the basketball the best to be on my team. If we were going to play tug of war, I'd want to find the squattiest person that I could, that had the most bulk, so that that person would be hard to move in a tug of war. And if I'm going to pick up sides to face life and all the fears, worries, anxieties, and discouragements that come into life, I want to pick somebody on my side who's been through all those discouragement, anxieties, and trials of life, and who could help me as I go through them. And so I'm going to pick Jesus to be on my side as I go through life, because he's been through all of that. The Bible says he was tested or tempted in all points like as we. And so there's not a discouragement or a trial or a hardship or a heartbreak that you have this morning that our Savior doesn't know about firsthand. He was tested or tempted in all points like as we. So I want to pick him for my side, because not only has he been there, but the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so, I mean, if I was going to pick up sides this morning to face life, my first pick would be Jesus. But what this verse says, I don't have to pick him, because he's already on my side.
Amen.
Why should I fear? What can man do unto me? Because God, I just think about it, God, the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, is on my side. Now, in order for you to understand that like I have this week, I want to mention 4 words to you. And we're gonna do a little Bible study this morning. And these are doctrinal words. We've talked about some of them at different times in different messages. But I want to put them all 4 together this morning to help you come to a full realization of who you have on your side. Those 4 words are these: daysman, advocate, mediator, and intercessor. Daysman, advocate, mediator, and intercessor. Well, you might think, well, all 4 of those words mean about the same thing. No, they don't. They all have a little bit different meaning. And in order to fully grasp and fully appreciate who you have on your side this morning, I want to tell you about those 4 words. First one, daysman. Job chapter 9, verses 32 and 33, the Bible says this. And Job is talking to God and talking with his three supposed friends about what's going on in his life. And he says this, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand on us both." What Job was saying in the middle of his trials, he'd lost his children, he'd lost his wealth, he'd lost his health. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And in the midst of those trials, Job said, "If there was just somebody here that could put his hand on God and put his hand on me, then I could go through these trials. If there was just somebody that understood God and at the same time understood me so that I could talk to that person, I could bear up underneath these trials. If there was just somebody that had sat on God's throne and yet sat in the place where I am that could put his hand on both of us and understand both of us, then I could undergo and bear up underneath these trials." What Job was saying, if there was just a God man, if there was just somebody that knew God and knew man, if there was just somebody that understood God and yet understood me, if there was just somebody that could feel my pain as I go through these trials and yet feel God's justice as he's allowed them to come into my life, if there was just somebody that knew God's strength but at the same time knew my weakness, if there was just somebody like that that could put his hands upon both of us, somebody that I could talk to like that, that knew how I felt, then I could bear up underneath these burdens. If there was a God that was a man of sorrows, if there was a God who was also a man acquainted with grief, if there was a God who at the same time was despised and rejected of men, if there was a God who at the same time has been in my circumstances and know what I'm going through and understand how I feel as I go through them, if there was just a daysman, if there was just a person like that who knows what I'm going through and knows how I feel and yet at the same time knows God, if there was just a person like that that could reach out on one hand and touch God and reach out on the other hand and touch me, if there was just somebody like that, I could bear up under these trials that have come into my life. And I wish I could see Job this morning, because when he died and went to heaven, he discovered that there is that God man. There is that somebody that knows exactly how we feel and knows exactly how God feels. There is somebody that reaches out and puts his hand on God and puts his other hand on man and knows how we both feel. And that daysman, that person that bridges the gap between us, is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Let me remind you who's on your side this morning. It's one who knows exactly what you feel this morning. Some of you have worries on your heart and on your mind this morning. You're facing, you have a trial coming up, or you have a health concern, or a loved one is sick, and you're having to cope with that every day of your life. And sometimes, I know how it gets. Sometimes you sit back and you wonder, does anybody really know how I feel? Yeah, I have a loved one. I have a spouse, or I have a parent, or I have a grandparent, and they try to sympathize with you, and they try to hurt when you hurt. But you sit back and you wonder, does anybody really know how I feel down at the depths of my soul, down in a place where no other person can see me? Does anybody really know how I feel? I want to tell you something this morning. There is somebody that knows exactly how you feel. There is somebody that knows exactly what you're going through. There is somebody who knows not only how you feel, but how God feels. and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our daysman. He can reach out and put his hand on you and know exactly where you are, and he can reach out and put his other hand on God, and he can bridge the gap between us. And that is the person that's on your side this morning. The Lord God is on your side. The one that knows and has been where you are and knows exactly how you feel this morning and how you hurt and how you worry. He is on your side. Your daysman. But he's more than that. He's not just a daysman. He's also our advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." The word daysman, I didn't actually define it for you, but it is that person that can reach out and understand two people and reach out and touch both of them. The word advocate means somebody that runs to my side. When I stumble, when I fall, an advocate is somebody that runs to your side and helps you, picks you up. I can remember when I was trying to ride a two-wheel bike when my dad took the training wheels off. And we were out in front of the house on the sidewalk. I was 14 when he... Is anybody out there? I wasn't 14 when I got my training wheels off. What's the matter with you guys? Thank you. I was about three or four years old. And I was getting my training wheels off. And my dad was my advocate that day. Because as I was learning to ride my bike, I'd fall. He'd run to my side and pick me up. Give me a push off, and I'd fall again, and he'd run to my side and pick me up. That's what an advocate is. Somebody that when you fall, somebody that when you stumble, runs to your side with help. And our daysman, that one who knows us and knows God, is also our advocate. Jesus is our advocate. That's what that verse said in 1 John. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And so this one who knows God and knows us, this one who understands God and understands us, as he watches over us, as he sees us when we fall, he runs to our side to pick us up and help us. So let me ask you this morning, do you have a broken heart? Get ready. Here comes your advocate. He's running to your side with help. He knows how you feel. Nobody can help you better than that. But he watches over you. If you have a broken heart this morning, here comes your advocate. He's running to your side. Do you have a grief this morning? Do you have a heartache this morning? Do you have a worry this morning? Here comes this one who knows exactly how you feel. He's not wasting any time. He's getting right beside you. He's your advocate. David wrote in another place, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" When we sit and wonder, we look up and see the heavens, the sun, the stars, and the moon. That's what David was doing when he wrote this verse. He says, "When I consider the work of your hands, the sun, the stars, and the moon, and then I consider man, what are we that you should be mindful of us? And what are we that you should visit us?" And yet, God made Jesus our daysman. He understands every... Listen, you might think, well, nobody understands what's going on in my life. It's so complicated. Nobody knows how I feel. I've tried to talk to other people about it, and they say they understand, but nobody understands what I'm going through this morning. Don't you believe that? That's a lie from the devil. There may not be any person, but there is one God, and he understands exactly what you're going through this morning. And as your advocate, as he sees you in need, he runs to your side with help. I mean, that's what it means when that verse in Psalm 118 says, God is on my side. He's my daysman. He's my advocate. He knows what I'm going through, and he knows what you're going through. And he is at your side this morning. But you need more than a daysman. You need more, and I need more than an advocate. You see, I'm a sinner. And my sin separates me from God. And when I turned my back on God in my sin, God turns his back on me. Let me illustrate this. Hey, Dave, would you and Daniel come up and help me just for a second? Daniel, you stand over here. Turn around this way. Dave, you stand right here. Just face each other to start out with. All right? Shake hands. All right? Just hold them just like that for a second. This represents what we had in the Garden of Eden before sin came into the world. We had fellowship, man, God. We had a friendship. We had fellowship. We spent time together. We were one. You know what happened? Man ate the fruit. Man rebelled against God. Man turned his back on God. That's what we did when we sinned. The Bible says when Adam sinned, we were all with him in that sin. And we have a sinful nature. And you might say, well, am I going to hell because of Adam's sins? No, you're going to hell because of your sin. Because there's been times in your life where you've done the same thing that Daniel just did symbolically for us. You've turned your back on God. You've ignored God. You've ignored his word. You've ignored his salvation. Well, God, because he's holy and righteous, and because he is a God of justice, he can't look at sin. And so God, when we sinned and turned our back on him, God turned his back on us. Now here's what happened. Man realizes that he can't live without a relationship with God. I mean, even the people that live in the deepest part of the jungle, who've never heard the gospel. And Dick was mentioning in Sunday school this morning, there's people in America that have never heard the gospel. But even those people that have never heard the Bible, never seen a tract, never had anybody explain what Jesus did for them on Calvary, there's something inside of them that says, I can't live without a relationship with God. And so man, stick your hand out like that, you're shaking it. Man keeps turning back to God. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll turn over a new leaf. Hold your hand up. I'll live a better life. Surely God will turn around and the relationship will be restored. God doesn't budge. Man says, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll join the church. If I get religious, God will surely restore that relationship. So man turns around, hopeful that God will turn around and restore the relationship. God doesn't budge. So man, you're going to get dizzy before we get done. So what man says, I know what I'll do. I'll get baptized. I'll take the Lord's Supper. I'll do everything that the church says to do. And he turns around, and God doesn't budge. The relationship is not restored. You see, these two are at odds with one another. They're at war with one another. Man's sin and God's justice, man's disobedience and God's righteousness are at odds with one another. And man needs a mediator. In 2 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator is someone that comes to two warring parties and makes peace. A mediator is somebody that comes between two people that have a disagreement and help them reach an agreement. Jesus is our daysman. He is our advocate. He's also our mediator. You guys stay right here. I want to read you that verse from 2 Timothy because I want to read the second part of it. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, he's the mediator. How is he going to make peace between God and man? It's not going to be by leading man to do good works. It's not going to be by leading man to join the church. It's not going to be by leading man to take the Lord's Supper or get baptized. That verse 6 tells us how Jesus makes peace. He gave himself a ransom for all. You see, the righteousness of God must be satisfied. The holiness of God must be satisfied. And the holiness and righteousness of God says the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay that price. Somebody has to die for sin. Man can die and pay for sin, but that means he has to go to hell and live forever. That's what we deserve, all of us. But Jesus, when he gave himself a ransom for all, took all my sin upon himself, went to the old rugged cross that Brother Dick sang about a moment ago, and died paying the price for my sin. I didn't have to pay it. Jesus paid it for me. He's my mediator. And now, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, sinful man can turn around and hold out his hand to God. And when God sees the righteousness, not of this person, but of the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, God can reach back his hand and fellowship can be restored. Amen. Thank you, guys. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Look, mankind is empty without that relationship for God. I mean, even the people in the darkest part of the world that have never seen a Bible, that have never heard a missionary, know that they need a relationship with God. And there's something empty in your life if you don't have it. I can't get it by myself. I mean, there's people all over the world trying to get to God in different ways. There's only one way that works, and that's to have that mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, by the way, when the Bible says God is on my side, that's who's on my side. My daysman, who knows God and knows me. My advocate, who runs to my side when I get in trouble. And my mediator, the one who made peace between God and me. But he's more than just those three. He's our daysman. He's our advocate. He's also our mediator. But he's something else. He's our intercessor. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Boy, I like that. I'm just going to park right here just for a second. I'm glad that we have a God and a Savior that can do more than save us just today. I'm glad that we have a Savior who can do more than just save us for the rest of October. I'm glad that we have a Savior who can save us more than the year 2000. I'm glad we have a Savior who can save us longer than 2010 or 2020 or the year 3000. I'm glad that we have a Savior that can save us to the uttermost. Amen. He can save us to the uttermost. I don't have to worry about losing it. Man, if it depended on me hanging on, I didn't save myself. I can't lose my salvation. He can save me to the uttermost. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He can save us to the uttermost because he's going to live forever. And what he's doing while he lives forever is that he is interceding for me. Now here's what an intercessor means. It means that somebody, it's an intercessor is somebody that goes to another person and bargains or negotiates or argues on your behalf. That's what an intercessor is. Our intercessor, as talked about in Hebrews chapter 7, is the same person as our daysman. is the same person as our advocate and is the same person as our mediator. Our intercessor is the Lord Jesus. What's Jesus doing? Well, he's up in heaven. What's he doing in heaven? He's building mansions. Yeah, but he's sort of the construction crew boss. He's not out there pounding nails himself because he's got a more important job. What's Jesus doing in heaven? He's sitting at the right hand of God. And he's keeping his eye on me, just like God is. And he's keeping his eye on you, just like God is. God looks down and sees me. And he says, "Hey, Manning sinned." I'm just using this for an example. Is anybody home this morning? I am a sinner. I sinned this past week. God looks down and sees me in my sin. And then Jesus, who also sees me in my sin, reminds the Father, "Father, I paid for that one. That one's on my account. He's my intercessor." Satan comes into the court of heaven. The accuser of the brethren, Revelation calls him. He looks down and he sees my sin. And he says, "God, did you see that? That old man and God, boy, that you can't mistake that. That was a sin, out and out, a bad, wicked sin." God looks down. He sees it. He looks over to his right, to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say anything. He just points over to the mercy seat in heaven, where he took his blood after he was crucified, took his blood into heaven, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat where God is. And when I sin and Satan accuses me, and God sees it, he looks over at Jesus, and Jesus just points to the blood. And God says to Satan, "Sit down, Satan. Shut your mouth. It's under the blood. It's paid for. And my intercessor ever liveth." And he sits at the right hand of God. And when God wants to forget, and I know he doesn't forget, but when God wants to forget what has made me right with him, I have somebody who's sitting at his right hand reminding God every time I sin that it's under the blood. And you do too. If you're a Christian, that's what he does for you. He reminds God that it's under the blood. This morning, my daysman, that one that knows me and knows God, is the same as that one who is my advocate, the one who runs to my side. It's the same as my mediator, the one who made peace between God and me. And he's my intercessor. He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. That's when Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side." That's what he's talking about. The Lord's on your side. Why should I fear? Why should I worry? Why should I be anxious? God is on your side. Now, he only is if you've made peace with God. And the only way you can make peace is let the mediator make peace. Just like Daniel tried turning around 4 or 5 times with different things, and none of them worked. His good works didn't move God. His joining the church didn't move God. His getting baptized or taking the Lord's Supper didn't move God. All those are important things, but they don't have anything to do with salvation. The only way that you can make peace with God is to satisfy his justice, his holiness, and his righteousness. The only way you can make peace with God is to have your sins paid for. You can pay for them yourself, or you can let Jesus pay for them. Now, I'd encourage you this morning, don't try to pay for your sins yourself, because that means you'll spend it. I'd encourage you this morning to let the Savior make peace between you and God. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would invite you to come and do just like Daniel symbolized for us or represented for us. You put your trust in Christ and what he did on Calvary to make you right with God. And you quit depending on anything else in your life. You may be a good person. You may do good things. But in God's sight, that doesn't make any difference. He says it's all as filthy rags in his sight. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't come any other way but then through the mediator. And that verse says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so if you're not saved this morning, I would invite you to come and meet the mediator, the one who can make peace between you and God, the only one that can. If you're a Christian this morning, I hope and I pray that you've been reminded in the past 20 minutes or so who's on your side. Hey, God is on my side. And God is on your side if you know Jesus. Why should I fear? Why should I worry? And why should you? Let's pray together.